Shit.
Christy began to unsling her rifle. Paul had stopped short on the other side.
That doesn't seem to half cover it.
It had been a dining room. There was a huge, sturdy oval table in the middle of it. On the table lay the nude body of a man. He was pretty portly and probably middle-aged. It was impossible to tell for sure because the parts of him that hadn't been cut off or opened were covered in blood. One blue eye stared out of red tracery at the chandelier hanging from the high ceiling above. Christy realized her feet were sticking to the floor. Blood was congealing everywhere. The charnel house stench was gagging.
Fuck me. Ugh.
She brought her rifle around.
Ah!
A hand covered in weeping sores grabbed its flash suppressor from her lap and wrenched the weapon out of her hands. She pivoted on her left leg, ramming her right up into the scabby's balls. All the breath exploded out of his body. He folded like a bad poker hand all the way to the floor. Christy was preparing to stop him good and proper when strong, stinking arms wrapped around her from behind.
No, Gaia, damn it!
She shifted her hips left, then rammed her right elbow straight back, pushing hard with left hand folded over right fist for emphasis. The new mutie lost his lungful and doubled over. She whipped both arms up in front of her, completing her breakaway, and turned clockwise into him. He had withered skin and a nose like a brown cancerous carrot. She smashed a forward elbow slam into the side of his face. That stood him up again, opening him for an uppercut into the stomach, delivered with a Widdershin's twist of the hips that lifted his sneakers out of the blood muck. He fell. Even as she started to turn back to her first assailant, he came at her again from behind, dropping the M16, held by buttstock and barrel, right over her head, pinning her arms to her sides. The mutie with a rotten carrot nose wrapped her ankles in his arms and clung to her like a baby possum. She was immobilized.
Paul, for fuck's sake, help me!
Paul just stood there between her and the table, shoulders hunched, staring at her with moist cow eyes.
Don't hurt her!
What?
Hulk says he's been cheated once already. Hulk says he wants woman unharmed.
Two figures had appeared through the kitchen door on the far side of the table with its gory burden. The voice was coming from a weird round mutie who had to crane his head to see past the ex-baron's split-open paunch. He scarcely came to the waist of the monstrous figure with a fistula for a face that stood behind him. Christy struggled futilely against the scabby's grip.
You're so lucky, hole-like. You're better than Blackhair, Cunny. Hole never had red furred goose before.
The little mutie rubbed claw-like hands.
Excuse neither.
The giant mutie bubbled excitedly through the hole in his face. Words could have been no clearer. A huge, misshapen hand began to knead a growing stiffness below the sack-like black garment.
No.
Christy ground her teeth in frustration. She would soon have to summon the power of Gaia to enter her body and increase her strength to superhuman levels. It took a horrific toll on her, risked incapacitating her. But she wouldn't allow herself to be violated by this monster with the oozing gap for a face.
Get ready!
Something thumped on the floor of the kitchen right behind Hole and rolled forward, almost between his boots. The giant and his rotund interpreter ignored it.
Hole give you plenty of what a woman really wants.
A shimmer, like shockwaves made visible, passed upward and outward over Hole and skis, radiating in semicircles from the floor. Hole's vast booted feet seemed to have shrunk to a cone point, as if he were being transformed into a giant blacktop. He raised his tree trunk arms over his head. His hands were great claws of intolerable agony. Skeez's eyes bulged, as the distortion waves emanating from the floor seemed to intensify. As if the air itself were somehow becoming solid, his squat little body began to distort, to be drawn back and down toward the point from which the waves originated. Hole was half swallowed, arms flailing now, screaming as if he had no need to inhale.
What's happening?
Skeez's body seemed to shred and be sucked toward the point in rags of black and red. His larger eyeball stretched and distorted into a banana shape before it popped like a water balloon.
Implogrim?
They were as rare as their effects were horrible, but she'd seen them before. The comforter over the door whipped the legs of the scabby who held her pinned as air whistled toward the tiny singularity created by the grin. Watching his leader's unimaginable painful demise and horrified incomprehension, the scabby had slackened his grip. Christy managed to grab the M16 with both hands and pull down hard as she whipped her upper body forward and down. The Scabby went flying, leaving the long blaster in her hands, and cartwheeled over the late unzipped Baron Mike into the Gren's distortion ripples, which were already subsiding. His very atoms were stripped from one another and sucked in a maelstrom right out of this world. The moldy mutie on the floor had also lost his grip on the red-headed woman. She kicked a boot backward to free it up, then snapped it forward as if to launch all the terror and fury that filled her right out of her silver-chased toe. The mutie's neck snapped like kindling.